Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. Hebrews chapter 11 has been described by some as the faith chapter. Others have called it the roll call of the faith, or the hall of fame of faith. And of course, the writer of Hebrews goes through all of those people who did all those great things for God by faith. But in our text, in this section of Hebrews 11, the writer of Hebrews gives us an overview or a synopsis of the life of Abraham. He begins where every Christian life begins. He said, by faith. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. The only way to get in the family of God, the only way you're ever going be saved, it won't be church membership, doing good, baptism. It won't be through someone else, Muhammad or Buddha or any of that. It'll be through faith in the Lord Jesus. Salvation on our part is not a plan, it's not a program, it's a person. And you'll come to God by Jesus Christ, or you'll never come to God. But faith is not just the starting place of the Christian life, it is the staying place of the Christian life. If you want to start as a Christian, you want to stay where God wants you, and you want to be successful as the people of God, you'll do all of that by faith. It won't be on your talents. It won't be on your abilities. It won't be because God's blessed you with houses and lands and money. It'll be just because when the storms come and you've walked to the graveyard and your house is burned down and somebody you love's dying with some disease, you just do like Job and grab a hold of God and say, I love you, I believe you, I trust you, I'm just going to keep my confidence and faith in you. When it's dark and I can't see the way, I'm just going to trust God. When I don't know what's going on, I'm just going to trust God. And Abraham was a man of faith. He just believed God. God help us to get back to being, whether it be ignorant or dumb or so immature. When I first started out pastoring, you know the only thing I could do? The only thing I could do is trust God. We didn't have any money in the bank. We didn't have a whole crowd of people. We had an old run-down building. I drove an old run-down car, but I just believed God was God. And by faith, we were able to do what God had put us there to do. He goes and says, by faith. But what I'm interested in, it said, by faith, when Abraham was called. Abraham's call here is the same as God uses when he calls anyone and everyone. It's not different how he called Abraham. The Bible said when Abraham was called to go out. Every time God calls you, he'll call you to come out. Now God will bring you out that he may bring you in. When he called me for salvation, he called me to salvation, but he called me out of sin. Aren't you glad that their sins are gone? They're not just buried. They're not just hid behind his back, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. He chooses to remember them against us no more. But when he called me to salvation, he called me out of sin. When he called me to service, he calls me out of self. I'm going to tell you this, you'll never be able to serve you and God. It'll be him or you, but it won't be both. John the Baptist said it like this, he must increase. Have you ever noticed even preachers misquote that verse? They'll say, I must decrease and he must increase. The only problem with that is when John said it, it didn't start with you. He started with him. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. So when God calls you to service, you'll have to step outside of yourself. You'll have to give up your will. Your dreams will have to die. You'll have to forsake all that you've ever wanted to be to come and go with God. So he called him out. He not only called him out, he said, what's verse 8? He said, when Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance. He not only called him out, he called him on a promise. See, basically what happened was God went down to the Ur of the Chaldees and found a Syrian. He said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you, I'm going to give you a land, I'm going to give you a lineage, and through your lineage, and the Bible said, through your seed, singular, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You're going to have a land, your posterity is going to grow into a great nation, they're going to be my people, I'm going to take a Syrian, I'm going to give you the token of circumcision, I'm going to make the Jewish nation out of you. And he said, do you believe me? Abraham said, I believe God, I believe you. He said, well, pack up all your stuff, get your family and everything together, and let's go. God didn't hand him the title deed to the land of Canaan. Sarah wasn't walking out of the earth of the Chaldees expecting a child. Matter of fact, she was getting past childbearing years. God didn't guarantee him anything that he could hold in his hand. All God gave him was said, I'm going to give it to you later. You've got a promise. Now you come on, follow me, and I'll take you to that promise. I'll reveal that promise. I'll give you that promise. I'm telling you, some of us can't get anything done for God, because when God calls us, we waiting on fleeces to get wet, or we waiting on walls to fall. We just won't take God at his word. There's a time in America when a man didn't have to sign his name. He didn't even have to shake your hand. If a man looked someone in the eye and gave his word was his bond, and he would die, he would sell himself as a slave before he would dishonor his word. It ain't like that much anymore in our country. But I'm going to tell you, this Bible said, Pastor, that God put his word above his name. He'll not go back on his word. And what you and I need to do is get back to taking God at his word. Just stand on his word. As the old hymn writer said, it's time for God's people just get back to standing on the promises. If you can't define it, if you can't describe it, if you can't figure out what God's up to, you just stand on his promise. Just take God at his word. His word is always faithful, and his word is always true. When God called Abraham, same as when he called me, he called him out. He called him on a promise. God called me and said, if you'll come to me, I'll wash all your sins away. I didn't feel some supernatural happening when God called me. I did after he washed them away. But I didn't stand in that pew when the Holy Ghost was dealing with me. God said, if you'll step out into evangelism, I'll take care of it. I'm going to promise you, I stepped out on a promise, and God's not let us down yet. He's done more than we'd even prayed for him to do. He's been better than me and I got no sad stories to tell. God been good to this old boy and my family. But not only did he call me out, not only did he call Abraham on a promise, but he called him to obey. That's all he told Abraham to do. He just called Abraham to obey. My daddy is an old head-busting policeman. He believed in law and order. His word was bond. He believed that kids should be seen and not heard. And my daddy's saying was, you don't have to like it. You just do what I tell you. And you know what I found out? If you'll follow the rules, follow the orders long enough, you'll get to enjoying it. If that person that's giving you the orders has your best interest in mind. When I first arrived at boot camp, they was waking us up and saying all manner of evil things to us and calling us all kind of things that I'd never been called before and treating us like dogs. I didn't like that too much, but I did exactly what they said. But by the time those weeks were up of boot camp, we're standing out on that parade ground all dressed up. They started to raise the old stars and stripes, and the band struck up on the national anthem. I didn't Kaepernick it, bless God. I stood up at attention, stiff as a board, throwed my hand up and saluted, and said, thank God for those men that drove me and commanded me and turned me in to what I am now. And God has a purpose for you, and he's calling you out, and he's calling you to obey. And no matter what it is, just do what he says, and he'll turn you in to what he wants in this life, and he'll turn you into Jesus in the life to come. The call of Abraham. But what I want to look at is when Abraham, when he was called. That's what he was called to do, but what did Abraham do? So I'm going to preach a few minutes more on when Abraham, when he was called. Continuing in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. When Abraham was called out, you know what he did? He just went. When you're being called, what we must do, and I know this is not good English, my wife will get me. When God calls you out, went out. Amen. Let it be testified to you. God called him out. God called her out. And she went out. I mean, Abraham, got, the word came to Abraham. God made him a promise. Abraham said, I believe it. He said, pack up. I can see Abraham going back. I believe Abraham had a house. I believe Abraham had a business. I believe Abraham was an established man in the Ur of the Chaldees. He walked in the house, said, pack it up, Sarah. Sarai, we are leaving. She said, where are we going? The next part of that verse 8 says, not knowing where he was going. I don't have a map. I don't have a GPS. I don't have a, if I had one, I don't even have an address I can put in it. I don't know where we're going. God said we was going and we was going. Wonder what your life would be like. Wonder what our church would be like. Wonder what the Christian life would be if we'd just go whether we knew where we was going or not. He's a leading, I'm a following. When it comes time to go, when God called him out, he just went. He didn't have to have a whole lot of physical things. I believe Abram was a rich man before he left the Ur of the Chaldees. Packed all that up and took it with him. But he was willing to leave his house. He is willing to leave his family in the Ur of the Chaldees. Willing to leave all that he had grown up in. All he had ever known. Because the Lord told him to go. And when he was called out, you come with me. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't care who you are. You're never going to be what God had you to be, has you to be until you're willing to leave. Some of you may have to leave some of your friends. Some of you may have to leave some of that business dealings you're in. I don't know exactly what God will put his finger on to tell you to leave, but you're going to have to come out, and when God calls you out, you're just going to have to go out. I remember it was January of 2016. Pastor and I was in a meeting in Florida together. God was driving it home to my heart. I had made the statement in September of 2016 to my daughter as I was driving to a meeting. I said, when I come to this meeting next year, I'll be a full-time evangelist. She laughed. January, which would have been a few months later, in that meeting, God really began to deal with my heart. Now, I wrestled with that thing as long as I could. Finally, I just said, I can't live like this. I was worrying pastor to death, every preacher friend. I was up and down, sleep. I'd sleep 3 or 4 hours, and I'd get up and I'd pray about it. And finally, I said, Lord, I can't worry about this. If you're calling me out, you know in my heart it's settled, I'll go. But I don't know when. And we was thinking, well, I'll finish in July. I'll start this Sunday. I didn't know how it was going to work out. So finally, I did. I took the date book. I still keep it in one of them dollar calendars you get at the dollar store. I took it in there and laid it in the closet and laid it out before God. I said, well, you see it. If you let me go through July, I got some stuff in August and my falls have pretty well the last couple of years been full. But I'll go whenever you say go. I'm not talking to you about it no more. There's the book. Do what you want to with it. I'm not going to worry about it. It's worrying me to death. I was asleep about a week later. It's funny how when you get serious with God, he'll get serious with you. About a week later at 4 o'clock in the morning, March 24th, God woke me up. I walked into the prayer closet. He said, April is your last month. Easter's in April. Work out with them how they want you to go. So immediately I talked with the deacons. We set it up. I stood up and resigned. I had one Sunday booked. And that Sunday was booked, if you go into evangelism by this Sunday, mark it down. If you're still pastoring, I don't want you to come. So it's like, if you go, we'll give it to you. And if you're not going, you don't have it. And I had 2 nights and to preach in a meeting. And that was all I had. I'm going to tell you this. 5,000 miles in a month. I've not missed a Sunday. Praise God. God's been faithful. All I had was a promise. If you'll come, he'll take care of you. I was down in a meeting. I was worried about it. God, these Sundays are open. I still have some open ones. These are open. God, what are you going to do? It started out like a house of fire. I don't know what you're going to do. And a family got up and sang about a God that's big enough. And they said, if he's big enough to do this and that, if he's big enough to part Red Seas and all of this, he's big enough to feed a family like mine. I tell you what I'm going to do. When God calls you out, I'm just going to go out. I'm just going to step out. And if we're going to be what God called us to be, you're going to have to be out. You'll never be a Christian holding on to the world. You'll never get saved until you're willing to let it all go. Leave sin and self and all of that and come to Christ. And you can't hold on. I may have told this here, but I'm going to tell again. There's an Amazonian monkey The way they trap him is they build a little cage with the bars close together. They put a bait in there, say a banana. When that little monkey comes up, he'll run his hand in between those bars. He'll grab that banana, but he can't pull his hand back out. Now, all he has to do, let the banana go, and his hand will come back out, and he'll be free. But it said that he'll stand there and struggle and fight and hold on to that banana until the hunters walk up and bash his brains in with a club. And the problem in some of our churches and in some of our Christian lives is we're born again. We know we're washed in the blood. Preacher, I know I'll go to heaven when I die, but we're hung in that cage, and the devil is beating us to death over the head. Let it go and step out where God has called you. When Abraham was called, he went. Verse number 9 tells us when Abraham was called that he wandered. Look at it in verse 9. By faith, he sojourned. That word sojourned basically means a temporary stay. He had no intention of staying where he was. But watch it. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange land. So Abraham was not making plans to stay in the land that God had promised he was going to give him. In other words, hear what it was. Abraham was walking around. He was wandering around in the land of Canaan. It belonged to him. He didn't even know it was his. And he was living there like somebody living in a strange land. And he was pitching tents. He is living, look at verse 9, in tabernacles. See, sojourn is a temporary stay. A tabernacle is a temporary site. You can put it up. You can take it down. In other words, Abraham wasn't driving the tent pegs down too deep. He is ready to move at a moment's notice. When God came along and said, you've stayed here long enough, let's go. It didn't take long for Abraham to pull the tent pegs up, wrap up everything. Have you ever noticed? Abraham lives his whole life. Isaac lives his whole life. Jacob lives his whole life. They never built one city. They never founded anything in the land of Israel. They never were, as it were, owners. They never held the title deed, but it was his as soon as God promised it to him. And here he is wandering around. Let me just say this, friend. Have you ever noticed in life that no matter how good God's been to you, you may have a nice house, you may have a good job that you enjoy, and you may even hear at a good church, as good a family, everything seems to be going right, but somewhere down on the inside, it just still seems like something just isn't right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, Abraham was walking around in his own land. It was his, but he was doing it like he was a stranger. Read down in verse 13, and he said, we knew that we were strangers and pilgrims. A stranger is a man away from home. A pilgrim is a man on his way home. And Abraham was in his land, but he said, I just don't feel like it. Let me just put it this way, and you'll understand what I'm saying. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we live on this earth, which is our Father's, but there's still something that don't quite fit in. I'll tell you why, because this really isn't our home. That part that you're missing, don't let the devil confuse you about it. We're pilgrims, and we're strangers in this world. It's really ours. It belongs to our Father, and we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, but I just don't fit in here. Something just ain't right. As good as God's been to me, it's like there's something. It's like I'm not driving the tent pegs too deep. I'm getting ready to make a move, friend. I'm the old school. I believe one of these days a trumpet's going to sound so loud, it's going to wake the dead, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive be changed, caught up in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll forever be with the Lord. I've been called a heretic for preaching that. I've been called an escapist. They said, you want a David Copperfield and get out of the world. I'm not going to David Copperfield. I'm going to do like Sammy Allen said, and one of those guys that writes songs said, I'm going to ride out of here. I'm going to go out of here like Superman, and I'm going to come back one day like the Lone Ranger. I'm telling you, I know, but this world is not my home. You can have 1,000 of them like it, and you give me Jesus. They just something about this place. I just don't fit in. I'm a wanderer. I'm wandering through this world. That's what Abraham did. Even though it was his own land, when he was called, he went. When he was called, he wandered. Verse number 10 said, he looked for a city. When I was growing up, being the son of policemen, I know some of you more spiritual than I am, but we watched TV growing up. All four channels of it. Five, if we could get the antenna in the right place and get the UHF or whatever and get 21. Then, praise God, they added 36 and 46, and then later came 55. You with cable and direct TV and all that. Y'all know how good y'all got it. Of course, I was over in the motel room, flipped 700 channels, wasn't nothing on worth watching. I just cut off, went to bed. Said, thank God I ain't paying $125 to watch nothing. I'm not preaching against TV. You got it, watch it. When I grew up, I watched it. And my favorite shows, guess what they were? Police shows. My granny's was Western. She called them cowboy. But I like them police shows. When a criminal would rob a bank and he'd be on the run, they'd come on and they'd say, we want to put out an all-points bulletin. When I got older, I applied and went to the police academy, and I got a job as a police officer in South Carolina myself. And when they got come over the radio the first time, they didn't say, gonna put out an APB, an all points bulletin. In South Carolina, they called it a BOLO. Be on lookout. In verse number 10 said, by faith Abraham BOLO'd for a city. He is on the lookout. I can almost see it now. Isaac there, growing up. Isaac, man, I think they stayed together. Isaac, you know, he's growing up. Sarah standing around. The servants are standing around. Abraham out there looking everywhere. They said, he's went crazy. Somebody go out there and ask him. They said, Abraham, what are you doing? He said, I'm a looking for a city which hath foundations. Let me tell you what happens. You go down to verse number 13, you'll find out that Abraham had a promise from God. God comes along and remakes that promise with Isaac. He doesn't just renew it, he remakes it. His same promise Abraham had, he makes with Isaac. Comes along later, the same promise he made with Abraham, he made with Isaac. He mates with Jacob. If you don't understand that, you can get confused when it starts talking about the timetable, all the years that passed. You got to go back to he made the covenant with Jacob. But they all died not receiving the promise. Right. Abraham never owned that land. Never built a city. Never built a house. Lived in tabernacles, wandered around in it. Never had it. All died in faith, not receiving the promise. They believed it. You say, well, how could he believe it? God promised it to him, and he didn't get it. Let me just tell you, don't get off God's timetable. Abraham ain't got it yet. This thing ain't over. He's a millennial kingdom coming. And when God reigns on, Jesus reigns on this earth, he's going to ride out of heaven on a white battle stallion, come to right back to the Mount of Olives. That mountain's going to cleave into two. He's going to walk right across the Kidron Valley, right through the Eastern Gate, right up on the, I believe, the Temple Mount, sat down on his father David's throne in Jerusalem. I believe David's going to sit beside him. I believe Abraham be the patriarch father of the land of Israel. It's his. It's promised to him first. Those patriarchs are on that land. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit to earth. That strip of land over there, not the one the Arabs draw on the map, not the one the government's draw on the map, but the one God drew out in this Bible as Abraham's then, it's Abraham's now, it'll be Abraham's forever. He's going to get all those promises, but he died in this life. See, let me put this in. This life's not the only life God's concerned about. This life, he died without having received the promises. Watch this, don't miss it. I'm almost finished. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. God came along out there one day when Abraham was probably pouting. Said, Sarah's not pregnant. I'm wandering around in tents. Hadn't got anything, God. Hadn't got anything you promised me. God just walked up there and reached and pulled the curtain back for just a moment, Abraham. Now let me say this. I believe Abraham saw that seed that God promised. He said, by your seed, singular, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I believe he pulled it back and Abraham looked and seen a baby in a little old manger crying. I believe he pulled it back. Abraham looked and seen a man hanging on a cross saying, Father, forgive him. I believe he pulled it back and seen him ascending, resurrected and ascended to heaven. I believe that. I believe he looked into the millennial kingdom. He couldn't all figure it all out because seeing it afar off. But he looked into the millennial kingdom, and there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and had control of that land God had promised him. And he didn't understand all that. But when he got a glimpse of it, you know what happened? I think he scooched up so close to God. He quit worrying about
about the land of Canaan. He quit worrying about the promises. He quit worrying about being a great nation here. And all he could do was start looking for that city. I'm telling you, I've been down before. I've been on my back. I've been pushed down. I've been beaten down. And I hate to admit it, but I've cried out, God, it doesn't seem like it's working like you said. And what's going on? Can you give me a little light? Every once in a while he'll come. He'll pull the curtain back just a little bit and give you a little glimpse. And he give me that little glimpse. You know what I've been doing ever since? I've just been following him, wandering from church to church and from state to state. But I'm on the lookout. I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for another country. I'm not a staying here. I'm making plans to move. I'm on the lookout. I'm watching the eastern sky. Abraham was called. He went. He wondered and he watched. Hallelujah. And I think that some of us would be a lot farther down the road if we'd get our eyes off the Fox News and we'd get our eyes off Russia conflict and we quit worrying so much about the politics and get our eyes focused on him and start looking for that eastern sky. Start listening for that trumpet. Draw real close to God. The things of this world will grow strangely dim. Let me read this and I'm finished. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them as totally convinced. Couldn't say nothing. Devil couldn't take it away from them. Family couldn't tell them any different. Have you ever known something so much that nobody could shake you? That's what God, that's the way God gives you salvation. That's the way God gives you security. He wants you to have it where no preacher can preach you out of it. No devil can talk you out of it. No scripture can twist you up. They not only believed it now, but Abraham got a big enough glimpse. He said, I'm convinced of it. Yeah. Sarah said, we ain't got nothing. He said, well, it's coming. I've seen it. It might be afar off, but I've seen it. But he not only seen it, watch. Now, he not only convinced of it, totally convinced, but the Bible said that he embraced them. He reached out and clinged to it. He grabbed hold of it. He just gonna hold on to it. When everybody says it ain't gonna happen, he just holds on to it. Everybody says you ain't never gonna get it, he just holds on to it. He embraced them, watch it, and confessed. So he's convinced, he's clinging, and now he's confessing. I ain't nothing but a pilgrim stranger here anyway. Y'all didn't get that. If you ever get to the place where this world means less and less to you, the things of God will mean more and more to you. Now when God calls you, when God's calling you, the songwriter said it like this, softly and gently, Jesus is calling. When we talk about you and we say your name instead of Abraham, when, put your name there, was called, he, she, fill in the blank. When Abraham was called, he went. He wandered and he watched. I'm looking for a city. Our heads are bowed. The pastor's coming. Father, take the truth of your word and the power of your spirit, the feeble effort of thy servant to proclaim it. Speak to our hearts and may we have the guts, the Holy Ghost guts, to do what you tell us to do. In Jesus' name. Pastor, you come.